The second ordinance that we observe today is the Lord's Supper. And it's a great privilege to do this. That is to obey the command of our Lord Jesus, to do this in remembrance of Him. But it's altogether possible to try to observe the Lord's Supper and not observe the Lord's Supper. I ask you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When is the Lord's Supper not the Lord's Supper? And would you stand with me in honor of God's Word? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, but in the following instructions I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So, obviously, the Apostle Paul was talking about the church at Corinth observing the Lord's Supper. And he says to them, you're not observing the Lord's Supper. Were they taking the actions of observing the Lord's Supper? To some degree. Did they think they were observing the Lord's Supper? Most likely. But in fact, they weren't. See, the letter to the Corinthians was all about the cross of Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, he says that the preaching of the cross is folly or foolishness. In fact, the Greek word is moron. It's moronic to those who don't believe it, but it is the power of life to those who do. And then from chapter 1, he talks about ways in which we behave that cancel out the effect of the cross. That is, the effect of our preaching of the cross. In chapter 3, he describes divisions in the church. Those who say, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul. Some say, I'm of Jesus. But the point is that the body of Christ is divided, and that cancels their preaching of the cross. So when we come to chapter 11, it's the same subject, but a different illustration. The illustration is how they're divided over they're observing the Lord's Supper. Now, there are a lot of theories about the church at Corinth. One theory that seems to be pretty solid is that Corinth experienced famine during the time of the events recorded in this letter. And that famine resulted in the escalation, Josephus tells us, of the prices of goods and commodities in Corinth. Exorbitant prices were charged, and as a result, poor people who had nothing had even less. Those who had were the few. And that distinction, that discrimination, if you would, came into the life of the church. As a result, when the fellowship meal came, people brought their own meal. If they had food, they brought their own food. And some even brought drink. And they flaunted it to the extent that they became gluttons in their observance and drunks at the same time. That's probably the background to what Paul is writing about here. There was not only a distinction and a discrimination within the congregation, but it resulted in a division. Those who didn't have didn't need to waste their time coming, because they weren't going to get anything when they ate together. So when is the Lord's Supper not the Lord's Supper? Well, when the cross is not proclaimed, then the Lord's Supper is not the Lord's Supper. That's why Jesus gave us this picture, not only to remember him, but also to proclaim, Paul says, his death until he comes. There are a lot of ways that we can proclaim the death of Christ. I heard about one wonderful way to do that today in one of our connection groups, and that is by distributing the gospel through pamphlets that are often called tracts. We can't always share the gospel because of circumstances or time or even familiarity. Maybe we don't know the person well enough, but we can share God's word. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for that wonderful, wonderful story. Also, we can share the gospel by our own witness, how we tell other people about the power of the cross and what the cross did, why the cross was necessary, how the cross was efficient and sufficient for our salvation, the sharing of the gospel. But did you know that another way we can proclaim the gospel is by taking this meal? But it's not just the elements that we serve, and it is not just the deacons in there being dressed up on Sunday. God bless you, gentlemen. It is so hot in this coat under these lights, but God bless you. But these deacons don't necessarily help us observe the Lord's Supper. Because you see, we are not observing the Lord's Supper just because of the elements or the deacons or the pastor, or because it's once a quarter observation and this is that Sunday. We observe the Lord's Supper when, listen, our life and our behavior among ourselves reflects the unity that is created by the cross of Jesus Christ. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the ground around the cross is level. Not one of us was a step ahead of the other when we came to Jesus. We all came dead in our trespasses and sins, and were it not for the sufficient grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us would be in heaven. None of us. So the Lord's Supper is not the Lord's Supper when our relationship with one another does not produce an efficient, proficient parallel between what we say and what we do. We are not observing the Lord's Supper, even though we are trying to observe the Lord's Supper, when there are divisions among us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any divisions among us, but I would be foolish to suggest there are none. I would be foolish to suggest there aren't some jealousies and some pettinesses going on in between members of this congregation, although I don't know of any. Just so you know, I'm not picking on anyone. Oh, actually I am. I'm picking on everyone, so to speak. He said, you fail to recognize the body of Christ when there are divisions among you, and you go ahead and observe the Lord's Supper. Now, I want to tell you something. Nowhere in our text, nor anywhere in the New Testament, is it suggested that instead of getting right with one another, we ought to just not observe the Lord's Supper. Now, I've heard people say that, but I haven't found it anywhere in the Bible. No, we don't have an option to not observe the Lord's Supper. We are commanded to do it, but we are also commanded to be right with one another when we do it. Because if we will just carry on as if nothing were wrong, then we are negating the proclamation of the gospel, and divisions among us prove that our gospel is not powerful. Have you ever thought about that? How can you hold a grudge against someone when the blood of Jesus Christ was spilt for you? Anyone? I'm waiting. You can't. We fail to observe the Lord's Supper, even though we take the Lord's Supper when we're not proclaiming the gospel of the cross, when we are letting divisions exist among us, and we are not proclaiming the gospel of Christ. We are allowing divisions to exist among us when we fail to see the transition between the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the body of Christ, which is the church. I want you to look at the text again, because there's an amazing transition that occurs. By the way, I have observed the Lord's Supper at Park Hills Baptist Church over 100 times. I know that, and I'm going to tell you how I know that. I keep every sermon. I keep a copy of every sermon, and every time I've tried to deliver a different message. So over 100 times we together have observed the Lord's Supper in my relationship with as pastor of this church, but I'm not sure I've ever pointed this out. And it's not because it hasn't been there. It's not because I've had some new insight. It's because I've never paid attention to what Paul has done here. It's right there. And I've missed it. I'm glad you let me stay that long to correct my error. Watch. In verse 27, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of proclaiming the body and blood of the Lord." You see, this unworthy manner is the kind of behavior that was going on in the church. And so there is a profaning of the body, that's the bread, and the blood of the Lord, that's the cup. And it's a profaning of the representation of those things. You are minimizing, and you're making filthy his body and his blood. But go on. There's no question that that's a reference to these symbols. "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." See, it doesn't say, let a person pass on the Lord's Supper today and continue to live the way he is. It doesn't say that. It says, examine yourself and observe the Lord's Supper. "For anyone who eats or drinks without discerning the body," watch that, "eats and drinks without discerning the body." Do you see that's a solo? He doesn't say the body and the blood. He just says the body there. He's made a transition here. He's transitioning between the physical body that was broken for us and the mystical body that he is addressing right now, which is the church. You are the body of Christ. No apostle preached that more patiently, perennially than the apostle Paul. And then to prove the point, he goes on to say, "That is why many are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So then, my brothers, who's he talking to? Talking to the church. When you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. In other words, he hadn't covered everything. There was more to say. Sure there is. Nobody's reported to me any situations. Thank you. I've got no emails revealing deep, dark secrets. I just know me. And I know how easy it is to get crossed up accidentally or intentionally with other people in the body of Christ. You know, when the human body gets crossed up, sometimes that's a stroke. A malfunction of communication between the brain and the body. And who is the brain of the body of Christ? It's Jesus. He's the head of the church. And when there is an impediment in the body, it is not the fault of the head, it is the fault of the body. The body has not received the message, or has not believed the message, or has not followed the message from the brain. Folks, Jesus Christ, in giving his body, is relying on his new body to proclaim why he gave his body in the first place. And our proclamation of that in accuracy and in legitimacy is determined by our relationship with one another. Therefore, let a man or a woman examine himself or herself before observing this meal. There's no excuse, no way to get around it. This meal is a restart button. It is a refresh button of the body of Christ. Each and every time we take it, we are to self-examine so that our preaching of the cross is effective. Father, we thank you for breaking the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Isaiah said, for crushing him. We thank you for spilling the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As the writer of Hebrews said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Cause us to examine ourselves so that we do not diminish or discredit what Jesus has done by our behavior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.